We've been here before. We were here before with Enron. We were here before with the dot-com disaster. We were here before when the South Asian tigers went through their issues a few years ago. Argentina as well. So we've been melting down in different ways. The globe has been melting down in different ways incrementally over the last 20, 30 years or so. What is different about this is that it kicked the belly of the beast in the gut. That is the United States. And the bailout was not only a bailout of the motor industry, it's not only a bailout of US jobs, it's also an ideological bailout. Because one thing that the US government could not deal with was the specter, the sight of American working class people, American workers, standing in solidarity with angry black people halfway across the world, with angry brown people halfway across the world. And we saw this and we recognize this for what it is, which is just a double cross. It's a bailout, but it's a double cross. But it's failed because spaces like this create the alternative, and they bring the alternative to the center and remind us that our struggle hasn't been co-opted and our struggle has not been neutralized, that we're still one in this battle. One of the things as well that's been very difficult about the way many countries, particularly African countries, have had to deal with this bailout is that we don't have the kind of social infrastructure to deal with it. Typically, when we hit rock bottom, there's no safety net. We crack our skulls, we break every bone in our bodies. It's not relative, it's brutal, it's cruel, and it's sudden. And one of the things as well that's very important is that it's not just the kind of sudden breaking bones of now. It's the broken bones that last, the impact lasts for more than a generation, because obviously the symptoms came from a generation ago. It's kind of like having a flu virus in your body and your children sneeze 20 years after you're dead. And that's basically what this crisis has presented us with. I could say more about women and the vulnerability, but these are things that are known, I think. Increase in infant mortality, education, disinvestment in education, in healthcare, in social housing, in social spending. But if I'm forced to throw one statistic out, it will be that there were between 200,000 and 300,000 more infant deaths on average last year. And certainly that the MDG, any of the MDG targets of 2015 have been left by the wayside. Some of us were not at all optimistic that we're going to be able to race to these slightly ridiculous targets, slightly arbitrary targets, but it's even more ridiculous at this particular point in time. Typically, what happens in situations like this is that our past informs our present. And the past crises tell us that there's a gender specificity in the way that we experience these kinds of crises, and that the second round impacts on the crisis of women's choices and on women's work in particular, and no less so than in the African context. But I think that as well, statistics show us that there is hope, but that we need to create this hope for ourselves. We need to take some very direct action and take some very imaginative steps to claim back this hope. Things that we know are that global unemployment figures rose by 30 million workers last year, and they're probably going to rise again this year. Contrary to popular myth, the crisis is not over at all. It's just pausing for a second. It took some vitamin C, but we're still sneezing. It's still difficult. The other thing that we know is that past financial crises show us that it could take 5 to 10 years to turn all of this around, and that we're not going to recover fully for another half a generation. So we have to brace ourselves. The other thing is that the drop in remittances from family members living and working in developed economies hurts sending economies quite significantly. And we've experienced this within the African sector, the African countries, South Asia, and between Latin America and North America. Different impacts on development in my last few minutes as well is that, you know, things like nutrition, things like infant mortality, but I think the things that are very that are most effective are things like what a stimulus package means. What does it mean to both most of us here? Most of us here have never received a bailout in our lives, and we are the most deserving recipients of such. So what are our policy responses? What are our governments saying and doing to make this time easier and more equitable and to create a kind of citizenship and statehood which at least supports us? Things like environmental sustainability have gone out the window at a time like this because it's all about survival. It's all about getting through the day to day. But I think I have to say that one of the things that this presents us with the opportunity to do is that it moves us away from this whole money-mongering, profit-mongering discourse. We're told that this is the survival of the fittest, and it's time to show who is really fit. We've been told that you snooze and you lose. In my language, you say walala wasala. You snooze, you lose. Okay? It is dog eat dog. But I think that it's a moment to show that we're not snoozing, we're very much awake.